And we're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN, and we're joined here today by Perry Wiggins, with the Governor's Military Council here. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. And he's, of course, the Executive Director of that. And did you have a good New Year?
I did. We welcomed in a new grandson, Rocker Lamar. My son is stationed in Germany and with the 2nd Cavalry Regiment, and he and his wife welcome Rocker Lamar on the 24th of December.
Well, that's great. Great news.
Yeah, absolutely. So hoping to catch a plane here shortly to join my wife, who's already there, and take a look at him and give him a baseball glove and baseball and football, and then come back home.
Oh, well, very good. That's good news to hear. Yeah, so you got a good Christmas then as well.
Well, I did. We're blessed. You know, we're blessed and we're thankful. And, you know, ringing in the new year with a new grandchild. We have 6 of them now. They change your lives. So, you know, we feel very blessed.
Well, that is good to hear. I'm glad to hear some good news on that front. As far as the holidays are concerned, I know it's always a time of year when several military members are either away from their families. Some do get to come home. And, you know, it's always a tough time on families.
Yeah, you know, it's a mixed bag for soldiers. Those on deployment, sometimes there's a lot of loneliness involved. And so, you know, it's good to reach out and make sure you stay involved in their lives. And then you have individuals who've been deployed recently, like those at Fort Riley, that have come home. And now they're sitting at home visiting mom and dad and friends and having a great time, and hopefully are traveling safely back to Fort Riley at this time.
Yeah, and as far as any upcoming deployments that we know about at this point?
Well, I think in February we're going to have an organization taken off out of Fort Riley, recently announced. You know, which is always a sad time for us here in this local area. But to be honest with you, Fort Riley has enjoyed almost everybody, being home for the past few months. And that's been an enjoyable thing, specifically for the communities to get reacquainted with new leadership, soldiers that have been assigned to Fort Riley for some of them 9, 10, 11 months. But have not been at Fort Riley, actually. They came in, signed in, and a lot of them got on a plane and headed to Europe or Afghanistan. And so they're just now starting to get to enjoy the Central Flint Hills.
Yeah, and that's good for not only them, but for our whole community to have an extra.
Absolutely. You know, I told individuals, you know, we had over close to 9,000 soldiers deployed at mm-hmm. one period out there at Fort Riley. That's a significant economic impact. And so when they come back, it's equally a significant economic impact in that they're shopping, they're buying. And it was a perfect time because, you know, Christmas time, they're in the stores buying Christmas presents, and they're at restaurants eating, getting used to American food once again instead of dining facility food.
Again, we're speaking with Perry Wiggins, Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, who joins us once a month here on In Focus. What else has been going on with you?
Well, you know, I've been dealing with a lot of things with the governor, trying to really gain momentum in the licensure and accreditation aspects of what we got here in Kansas. And we've made huge, huge improvements in that for our spouses and for our military members and veterans in them. But, you know, we are trying to simplify the fact that we have a lot of spouses that accompany their service members to the state of Kansas. They hold qualifications in chiropractic, contracting, cosmetology, nursing. And so we have taken on a lot of those type of skill sets and are trying to facilitate their getting their licenses and getting accreditation here. The Department of Defense has increased the amount of dollars they're going to give to spouses from $500 to $1,000 to basically take care of those fees. What we need to do is we need to expedite the process so that they can go right into a job here in Kansas, because we need their skills. We benefit from those spouses that get to work here in our communities. And to be honest with you, I don't know if we necessarily track accurately the amount of spouses that we have out in the communities working right now, because a number of the employers don't even know that they're spouses.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's interesting because you bring up the licensure topic. I've dealt with a number of stories about this over the last few years in Nebraska and Kansas, but it seems to me like there's regulations that you wouldn't think about from one state to another wouldn't transfer.
Yeah, there's a lot of compacts going on now where states are basically coming together. They're taking a look. They're screening the requirements. And we're having a realization that really we're not that different, especially here in the Midwest. So it makes sense for us when we're needing a workforce to accommodate those individuals that have been trained to take a look, of course, do the vetting when you're talking about teachers and nurses, do the appropriate vetting, but facilitate a rapid transition from the workforce in another state to the workforce here in Kansas.
Is there any other legislative bills? We got the legislative session starting here in a couple weeks.
There's a big defense bill and budget that has been basically approved, the largest that I've seen in my military career. And I'm real interested in seeing how we flesh out those dollars. A lot of it, from reading, and I know a lot of people read as much as I, looks like technology and other areas where we're going to facilitate that growth. Everybody wants to see force structure growth in those dollars as well. And it's sort of a difficult process because you can increase force structure. We did last year to 28,000 troops in the Army, but trying to recruit that force has been a difficult process, and it's something we're continuing to try to and the Army's continue to try to figure out. And in a great economy, it makes it even more difficult because there's a lot of other jobs and opportunities for these young men and women as they try to go out and find employment.
That's interesting to me. So are the younger generation, they're not coming out as much as far as volunteering?
Well, I'll tell you, and it's a phenomenon that I've looked at closely, and it's not a new phenomenon. But, it seems as though those that raise the right hand and swear to defend this nation more and more are coming from families who've had uncles and fathers and mothers who have served, or grandfathers. It's very difficult to reach out to some of our communities here in the United States. And when you look at the demographics, they come from predominantly areas that have served in the military over many years. And we need a diverse population to serve in the military. We need to be a reflection of society. But it's getting harder and harder. A lot of parents, you go through 17 years of persistent conflict. A lot of parents look at the military and say, do I really want my sons and daughter going into an organization that may result in them deploying somewhere thousands of miles away and standing on point for the nation? I say, having two children that serve in the military, that it is a honorable profession and it's something that we need. We need our best and our brightest, our strongest standing on point because it protects our freedoms and our liberties. And we need those individuals standing there serving this nation because it's what makes this nation great.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because I remember when I was going through high school, I didn't serve, but I know a number of my friends did. And, when I was graduating, we had a lot of stuff going on in the news. It was right after September 11th, the Iraq War was beginning, and a lot of people felt obligated. They wanted to go join and serve the country.
I have a lot of friends that still have the paradigm that a private makes little or no money. And I'm sure the privates out there at Fort Riley, so I'm listening right now, probably say, yeah, I make little or no money. But all the benefits they get puts them in an incredible stead with their peers that are coming out of college. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of benefits and dollars that they get. They just got a 3% pay raise. That's incredible. They're making significantly more money. When I go out to parking lots at Fort Riley, for example, when I first came in, parking lots were bare. You didn't need a lot of parking lots outside of barracks because not a lot of people own cars. And if they did, it was a pass-me-down car normally. Now you go to those parking lots out there, there's brand-new automobiles. Soldiers that return from deployments, they're spending those dollars buying those cars that, to be honest with you, I can barely afford. So it's a different paradigm than what we dealt with many years ago. We got to break it. We got to understand that there's a way to make a living in the military. It's an honorable profession. It's something that our nation needs. Matter of fact, our nation demands our best and brightest. And we got to be forthcoming, and we got to be recruiters out there in those communities. Folks like yourself that didn't serve, but understand the importance of a strong military. We got to be out there talking to people and telling them, hey, we appreciate the fact that you're willing to raise your right hand.
Mm. Well, let's continue our conversation on the other side of the break here. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN.